What's the most important invention of the last few centuries? Electricity, cars, computers. Consider a far more obscure innovation, the process for turning air into nitrogen fertilizer. Without it, perhaps 2 billion people on Earth wouldn't be alive for lack of food. But NPR's Dan Charles reports that invention also has flooded the world with pollution.
Step back in time 100 years. It's 1898. Sir William Crookes, president of the British Association for the Advancement of Science, delivers a doomsday speech. The limits of global food production, he says, are within sight.
Are we to go hungry and to know the trial of scarcity? That is the poignant question.
There is a way out, Crookes says. If farmers could get their hands on fertilizer containing nitrogen, their fields could be far more lush and productive. Nitrogen is the main nutrient that plants need to grow. People need it too. When you eat protein, you're eating nitrogen. But where was this extra nitrogen going to come from? There's a vast reservoir of nitrogen all around us, Crookes reminds his listeners. 80% of the air we breathe is pure nitrogen gas. No one has found a way to persuade that nitrogen gas to bond with other chemicals to form compounds that plants can use, Crookes says. But science has to meet the challenge, otherwise the unthinkable will happen.
The great Caucasian race will cease to be foremost in the world and will be squeezed out of existence by races to whom wheaten bread is not the staff of life.
10 years later, in southwest Germany, a young, high-strung chemist took up the challenge. His name was Fritz Haber.
In this building, Fritz Haber worked when he was here at the University of Karlsruhe.
Inside this solid yellow brick building, Haber and his assistants pumped nitrogen and hydrogen into a steel pipe under extreme heat and pressure. In that pipe was the key to success, a plate of heavy dark metal, a catalyst that broke the bonds between pairs of nitrogen atoms, allowing them to hook up with hydrogen instead. Out dripped the result of this union, liquid ammonia, the raw material for making nitrogen fertilizer. The building has no plaque, and there's no statue of Fritz Haber anywhere on this campus. But Václav Smil, an expert on the history of world agriculture at the University of Winnipeg in Canada, says this was the most momentous technological innovation of recent centuries.
You could easily imagine the world without computers, because until about 40 years ago, everything was done without computers. You can actually imagine the world without electricity, as difficult as it would be. After all, you know, the people were not starving, and people had a pretty high level of quality of life in late 1880s before the widespread use of electricity. But it's very difficult to imagine people not eating every day.
And without synthetic ammonia, the world's 6 billion people couldn't eat every day. The U.S. doesn't need it so much. 75% of this country's grain harvest goes to feed animals, not people. But China and India are a different story. 30 years ago, says Smil, China ran headlong into the disaster that Sir William Crookes foresaw in 1898. The land simply could not yield any more food, even though Chinese gathered all the natural fertilizer they could and returned it to the fields.
They were collecting every little bit of organic matter. Children were cutting grasses from slopelands and dumping everything on fields. So there was a classical traditional agroecosystem which simply could not produce any more.
Smil thinks this was the real reason for China's opening to the West. Soon after Nixon visited Beijing in 1972, China ordered 13 of the world's largest and most modern ammonia plants. China is now the world's biggest user of nitrogen fertilizer, and its agricultural production has soared. Today, worldwide, fertilizer factories pour out 100 million tons of nitrogen each year. Half of all the nitrogen atoms in the soil, in water, and in our bodies came once upon a time from an ammonia plant. Wherever harvests are plentiful, farmers are pumping nitrogen into the soil, harvesting it again in the form of grain. Smil estimates that about a third of the world's population, 2 billion people, depend on Fritz Haber's invention for survival. In some places, like much of Africa, nitrogen still is in desperately short supply. But everywhere else, the problem now is there's too much of it. In a peaceful corner of Maryland's eastern shore, Bob Fry and Judy Gifford run a dairy farm they've named after St. Bridget.
St. Bridget is the patron saint of dairy maids and scholars. So I'm a dairy maid, Bob's a scholar. So we picked her. She's often pictured with cows at her feet.
The cows here are munching on lush green grass. Most people might look at that grass and see the handiwork of soil, sun, and rain. Not Bob Fry.
If you look out here, you can see nitrogen at work and nitrogen where it's needed.
See those big clumps of tall grass, he says? That's where cows dropped manure a while ago.
And so that is extremely highly nourished soil around there with a lot of nitrogen being available to the plant.
And where did all that nitrogen in the manure come from? From cattle feed, mostly. Grain that was grown on heavily fertilized fields somewhere else. But manure by itself won't keep this pasture growing fast enough to feed a herd of 70 cows. So every once in a while, Bob Fry hooks a big tank of fertilizer to the back of his aging Ford tractor and gives the pasture an extra shot of nitrogen. In recent years, Bob Fry has taken the trouble to add it all up.
Last year, we brought on a total of 14.5 tons of nitrogen onto this farm.
Fry calculates that about 5 tons left the farm again in the milk he ships or in manure that was carried away. That leaves nearly 9 tons of nitrogen unaccounted for. Most went into the air as ammonia. Some probably became nitrates in a nearby stream.
I can't control the biology of it, but I'm concerned by the fact that of the nitrogen that we use, probably many times only 20 to 40% of it is utilized for the production of the plant or animal that we're producing.
In fact, in the end, all that extra nitrogen from all the world's ammonia plants ends up in the environment. And everywhere, says James Galloway from the University of Virginia, it causes problems.
Nitrogen has a role in most every environmental issue we have today.
Nitrates pollute drinking water. Nitrogen compounds in the atmosphere produce smog and haze. Others contribute to global warming or destroy the ozone layer. Some come back to Earth with the rain, giving forests and grasslands an unfamiliar and disruptive dose of fertilizer.
And then that nitrogen atom sort of wends its way out of the stream, down to the river, into the estuary.
In places like Maryland's Chesapeake Bay, it sets off wild growth of algae, suffocating bottom dwellers like clams and crabs. It's probably the main reason for the enormous dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. These aren't easy problems to solve, Galloway says. Agricultural researchers are trying to convince farmers to use less fertilizer, use animal feed more efficiently, and contain manure more effectively. But if 6 billion people are going to eat, and especially if they're going to eat meat, they need more and more nitrogen. And that nitrogen will keep on flooding the earth. Dan Charles, NPR News.